Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, I know that many of you listeners are single, and you're getting frustrated and upset with all the single shaming you're hearing. You know what I'm talking about. Those comments you're getting from everyone around you, like you're too picky, or why don't you just try harder? You may feel like you need to change who you are or what you want. My guest today is Dr. Karen Anderson Abril. Dr. Karen is a psychologist, author, podcast host, speaker, and musician. Her latest book is called Single is the New Black, Don't Wear White Till It's Right. Now, Dr. Karen encourages singles to stay strong amidst the single shaming, live life on their own terms, and never settle for anything less than an extraordinary relationship. And amen to that. And by the way, I love the book, and I love the title of Dr. Karen's book. To learn more about Dr. Karen, go to drkarin.me. So welcome to the program, Dr. Karen. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you so much. It is truly a pleasure on my end to be here.
Oh, wonderful. And I've been looking forward to talking with you. Now, before we talk about the book, tell us a little bit about what motivated you to write a book for singles.
Yeah, well, I think, what is the saying? Write what you know.
Yeah. So, me, had experience with, right?
Yeah, I mean, the short story is, yeah, I'm a psychologist, and I was an academic for 10 years. And so I was a professor and just living my life. But all the things you mentioned earlier about single shaming started kind of coming across my path as I hit 30 and was still single. You know, even the term still single. Like, you're remaining single when you shouldn't be single. Again, that judgment, that expectation of where you should be in your life and where you aren't. And so as I started hearing those messages, I started thinking, oh my gosh, what is going on? Is this area of my life where everything else is firing on all cylinders? You know, I'm a professor. I love my career and I have great friendships and strong family relationships and everything else is going so well. But this one area doesn't seem to be playing out as planned. And so as I started receiving those messages, I started doubting myself, which is, it can happen. And I started wondering and then second guessing. And then again, long story short, I guess that's too late, but I am actually got engaged to be married. I was 34. And 2 months before the wedding, I realized that I was in the wrong engagement for all the wrong reasons. So I called off my wedding, became a runaway bride, and then really had to reevaluate, what did this whole realm of my life mean? Was I willing to settle for someone that was a great guy, but just not the right guy for me, just to have a relationship because everyone thought I should at this point in time? And so all those kinds of conversations within my head came out into the book.
Well, why did you settle at 34? What did you find out? What were the reasons you decided to get engaged and then call it off?
Exactly. And it's really, Terry, it really has to do with, like I said, it's that those doubts start creeping in and you start second guessing your decisions and you go, gosh, the common denominator in all my failed relationships is me. Right. So maybe I'm doing it wrong. Instead of the alternate possibility that it just hasn't happened yet. I just haven't met the right one yet.
Right.
And so I started leaning into the doubt and then started again going down a path that was away from my authenticity. And frankly, it was not a very nice thing to do to this really good guy that I was in a relationship with and agreed to marry. I wasn't trying to be cruel or mean, but by not being true to myself, I was in a sense leading him on to think that I was a person I wasn't. And so then it, of course, as these things do, it blew up 2 months before the wedding. when I think back, if I had only been able to press pause, mm-hmm. reflect, really get in touch with myself and start working on my own self-doubt and trying to work on that, I could have stopped. I mean, we were together 4 years. I could have stopped the relationship before it got that far. And that's right. Actually my next book, Terry. I'm going to go into all of that because you're right. No one has a resource for this. There's plenty of resources for how to have the perfect wedding, pick the perfect colors, the flowers, but no one really is out there saying, but are you in this engagement for the right reasons?
Right, right. And so what do you tell singles then, Karen, about what are the right reasons then?
It's so much about knowing that the relationship, the right reason to be in a relationship is because you're good with yourself first. And I know that's a cliche that it's hard to wrap your mind around. I just did a post on Instagram about self-love because people ask me that a lot. Just devoted a podcast episode to it as well, because I go, how do I love myself? But really, when you are recognizing that this life is about you creating your own happiness from you and God or whatever source it is that you use to feel okay with yourself, then you know that the relationship is just a compliment to the great life you've got going on. It's icing on the cake. The relationship isn't, okay, now I feel validated for my existence. Now I feel okay with myself. The relationship is truly a true partnership, two people doing life and living life by their own terms, making themselves happy, creating their own path, and then walking hand in hand, as opposed to what I feel I was doing was, I need this other aspect of my life. So I got to get this guy, put a tux on him and walk down the aisle.
Right. And do what everybody else is doing, so to speak. And, you know, I agree with you so much, Karen. I talk a lot about self-love and knowing what you want and need before you can even tell someone else what you want and need. So if you don't know you and you don't know what's important to you and liking you, how can you expect anyone else to like you, right? Exactly. So that self-love is so important. And I love that you're an academic. I am too. And so all of this research, all of this science, all of the theories that you can bring to, you know, how do you know it's right? How do you know you're in a relationship for the right reasons is so important, because basically what you're telling us, Karen, is it's your own personal experiences, but it's also the science of relationships that you're bringing to your book and to people as well.
Oh, 100%. And in fact, just on the same note, I found a study recently, and it worked its way into the book, of course, out of the University of Toronto, that shows now we have researchers actually looking at this. We do find that people who are afraid of being alone, there's a relationship between the fear of being alone, fear of being single, and the tendency to settle for less in relationships. And that means settle with someone who's not a good fit for you anyway, or stay in a relationship that's not working. Because you're so scared. So now we actually have the data, you know, so like you, that's where my head goes. I mean, I'm curious and I'm interested in people's stories and their opinions, but if we don't have the data, I'm less interested. And now we're getting that because enough psychologists are going, you know what? This is the stuff that people are living on a day-to-day basis. We've got to bring some research to this domain.
Absolutely, right? I mean, relationships are so vital, so important to our health and our well-being. Now, you're currently married, I know, and you met your husband when you were 40. Just tell us briefly how you met your husband and how your research and studying relationships help your own relationships and marriage.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, so I was 40, and you know those milestone birthdays, and I thought, okay, so, all right, I gotta try something. And so I joined a dating service. So yeah, it's called It's Just Lunch, and they're actually all over the place. I write for their blog now. We had a nice partnership. Actually, my husband and I ended up being on their first national ad campaign. So there's TV commercials with us on.
Great, love it.
Yeah, I mean, I was one of their success stories, and so I signed up for the dating service because I was finding that I was meeting lots of great people, but also the guys I was looking for, a guy who was driven and motivated, and not because I was looking for a guy who drove a certain car or had a certain address. I wanted a guy who was driven and motivated because that would demonstrate to me their values. And as you know, Terry, values are at the core of the strength of marriages. We can look at, again, there's research on this. Couples who share, they can have personality differences all day long. Introverts, extroverts, that's actually not a big deal. But sharing the same core values is such a foundation for a marriage. Just fewer things to fight about.
Oh, absolutely. You know, in my own research, following the same couples for over 32 years, has found exactly what you just said, Karen, that key top core life values and similarity between two partners is what keeps couples together and happy over time. And so I agree with you completely. So you and your husband have those key core values in common?
We absolutely do. And here's another teaching point that I like to share with groups when I speak, and I'll share with your listeners. So my husband had been married before. He was married young. You know, I was out there in Chicago, city girl, living my life. You know, I'm 40, still single. My husband got married early 20s and was married for 23 years and then was divorced. And then we met after the divorce. Nothing scandalous. Okay. But yeah, but initially I was concerned. I thought, he's lived this entire different adult life with a more conventional path with the kids and suburbia. And I've lived this very single independent woman life. And because I looked at the surface, Terry, at first, because that's all we have available. We don't know this person.
Look at
the surface. I was fearful that our lives were so different that we wouldn't have those similarities. And what I found was that absolutely not. We both had the same core values. And let's look at relationships. He had been in a marriage that wasn't working. Now that's a very sad place to be. I had been single and heartbroken again and again. That's also a sad place to be. But here's what we did. Both of us refused to let those sad experiences define us or defeat us. Mm-hmm. And because we didn't, we had that strength to build upon, as I was speaking about earlier, that we were not going to let those sad experiences derail us. We still stayed happy and true to ourselves on our own. And so then when we met, it was very easy to realize that those surface differences didn't matter at all because we had those same common values. And so our relationship was the easiest relationship I've ever been in, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it's been very beautiful. And I'm a big advocate for encouraging singles because here's the thing. If you get married young, you meet the love of your life young, great, lucky you. But the research also shows, and this is more data out of it's actually out of Harvard, and it's someone who's actually in economics, but she was looking at the data, looking at marriage, and you probably are aware of this too. The older we are at the age of first marriage, the less likely we are to divorce because we've had those experiences of knowing that I can do this. And you have that inner strength that is such a gift to bring your partner.
I like that. And I agree with what you said, too. And such an important point about that you may have these surface differences, but what you really want to do is go deeper and find those core values because that's what's important. So singles, listeners, remember that you can have different interests and hobbies, even paths, as Dr. Karen said, but it's those core values that you want in terms of similarity that keeps relationships together and happy. Now, let's talk about your book, Singles is the New Black. And I love that title, as I mentioned. Love it, love it. Who's the target audience for the book?
Well, now, let's be honest. It's written for women because A, I'm a woman and that's my experience. And B, women are more likely usually to pick up a book on relationships than men are. But I will tell you, I've had male readers email me and say, you know what, I know this is written for women, but I picked it up and I completely resonate. It's not really a gender specific topic, is it? I mean, really.
Right. Absolutely not. And all people need that information, the science of relationships. Now, what's the important takeaway message to singles that are listening?
The takeaway message is clear, and it's really just a summary of what we've been talking about. The takeaway message is that you're not doing anything wrong. And all those messages, the single shaming you're hearing, people are coming. You know, people told me I was too picky all the time. And I thought, I know you're coming. In my head, I'm thinking, I know you're coming from a pure place. You just right. really want me to be, to find someone and be happy. But first of all, I'm happy already, so don't worry about that.
Right. And good, good. All, right? Good point. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, I got this. And second of all, it's a little bit, people don't realize it, but it's a little disparaging to suggest that some people, if they're 25 or 30, they get to be picky. But once you hit 40, then you just need to clean up any old person you meet and put a tux on them and walk them down the aisle. You know, that's right. not a, it's not very useful. It's not helpful. So my book is basically saying the opposite. A lot of books out there, Terry, they want to be helpful, but they're basically disparaging women again. They're saying, okay, here's the 5 steps you can do, and then you'll meet Mr. Right. He'll ride up on a white horse. And I'm saying, no, you really can't control that part of your life to that extent. And that drives women crazy, especially women who've controlled their education. They went and got the degree they wanted. They hustled. They got the career that they wanted. They've hustled. They've made it happen in all these other realms. And then their love life, they want to make it happen in the same way. And we have to be a little bit more comfortable with the tension that we can do all our own intrapersonal work. But sometimes you just got to wait until the right one shows up.
So what do I do then? Tell the listeners out there, okay, I understand. I have to like myself. I have to wait. I can't control everything. Right. But I like to do something, right? Mm-hmm. So what do I do? What can I do? Anything?
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, first of all, I talk about in the book, I say, don't be a lady in waiting. You know, like back okay. in fairy tales, they had the ladies in waiting for the queens and so forth. And don't wait to live your life. I went to Europe like tons of times because I wasn't going to wait to go to Paris when I met my man, because I had lived a full and interesting life that then I had something to bring to my marriage, and we have these experiences. He traveled a lot. I traveled a lot. So the point is just continue to live your life. Now, yeah, get on some dating apps if that sounds like fun. Get online if that sounds like fun. Join a dating service like I did. But just recognize that you can't 100% control. Now, and honestly, Terry, some people don't like this message because they want to have the 5-step plan to meet Mr. Right.
Right.
But
right.
I feel that that's often very disingenuous. That'll mm-hmm. sell a book maybe because mm-hmm. someone's hoping for that magic bullet.
So do I just forget about the notion that I want to find someone? Is that what you're saying? So like focus on you, forget about that you want a relationship?
No, I wouldn't say forget about it. It's perfectly natural and it's in our DNA. I mean, to want a relationship.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I would say, do your thing, live your life. I mean, I dated the drummer of my band, you know, I'm a musician. So I was out there in a band in the city and met a guy and we dated for a year. And so you will meet people if you're out there living your life. But at the same time, people used to tell me, well, you just got to get back out there. And I'm like, well, I don't know where you think I am.
Right. Exactly. I'm already out there.
Right.
Right. Exactly. But so, I love that advice, Dr. Kieran, because really what you're saying is that, you know, build your interests, have a fun life, because when you do that, you create opportunities to meet other people, as well as you just focus on different aspects of yourself, and all of those aspects bring excitement to a relationship and attract others to you as well.
Yes, I would agree with that 100% because you are, what is the saying? Your vibe attracts your tribe. Mm-hmm. And so when you are resonating in your authentic self and living your authentic life and thriving as a single person, that is a very attractive person for someone to meet. If you are getting in a defeatist mindset, if you're sitting there going, I'm never going to meet the one, with all this negativity, that's also a vibe you're putting out there. Mm-hmm. And I personally wouldn't want to, you know, we say in marital therapy that water seeks its own level. The idea that like attracts like. So if I'm in a negative, self-defeating, self-doubting space, then I'm going to attract that same energy to me. And right. I didn't want to have that person to hang out with for the rest of my life. So I'm thankful that I was able. Now, it took a long time. I'm not going to say this was easy. I almost married the wrong person at 34. And I'm a psychologist, by the way. So if I can almost do that, I understand that many people can almost get into that situation. But by the time I met my husband, I had gotten into that thriving mindset. And so my energy was out there and his energy is similar. And so it was just, like I said earlier, very easy, an easy fit, an easy connection, despite the other on the surface kind of challenges that we mentioned.
And what do you tell then, Karen, to singles? What should they do about the single shaming? Should they go up to someone? I know that you're saying, you know, focus on yourself. No, don't settle. But do I approach the people and talk to them at all about what they're saying or you know, how they're making me feel?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. I mean, I think, you know, we always have those snarky comebacks that we think of about 10 minutes later, because I think people really, at least I was very taken aback. I remember one time this is a true story. Again, I was in this band and I was at a bat mitzvah, the band, our pianist in the band, her daughter was having a bat mitzvah and I was there, and this guy, he comes up to me and he's just making small talk at cocktail hour, just very, very pleasant. And he was also a musician. So he was saying, you know, we all got to jam out. Your band needs to come and hang out with my band. He's like, cause my wife's in Israel, you know, the wife and kids are gone for 2 months, so I don't have the ball and chain. And I was thinking, oh my gosh. So then, yeah. And then later at dinner, he leans in, we're sitting next to each other. He's like, you got to tell me, how is a girl like you still single? And I thought, again, all right, he's probably, he means this as a compliment, right? He thinks that someone like me should be with someone. But I'm also thinking, you know, I didn't ask you, like, how are you still married when you talk about your wife as this ball and chain and you're happy to have her gone for 2 months, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just like the things that people will say to singles. But to answer your question, I personally probably wouldn't try to be snarky back, because I don't, where does that get us? You know, let's take the high road here. I would say follow people like me, read my book, follow other people who are single affirming, because you'll get a lot of words of encouragement through following our Instagram and following our blogs and podcasts and stuff, because there is support out there. But I don't know that we're going to, coming back with a snarky comment would probably just, I don't know that that's going to help anything, really.
It's not going to help you, and it probably won't help your other family relationships. And I'm sure, you know, as the holidays approach, singles are going to hear more of that single shaming, because you've got family and you've got adults there wanting to know what's happening, who you dating, is this serious, and all of that. So remember, I think that's a good piece of advice. There is support out there, and follow those people, whether it be on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn, and listen to podcasts like this. And Dr. Karen is saying, you know, you are okay. Don't settle. Love yourself. You know, go out, have fun, pursue your interests. Now, I know, Dr. Karen, we only have a few minutes left. Tell us what type of feedback you're getting from people who are reading the book, and where can we find your book?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, you can buy the book on my website, which is Dr. Karen, drkarin.me, or on Amazon, barnesandnoble.com as well. But yeah, I get a lot of feedback that, you know, one, I'm presenting in Columbus, Ohio. I do an event called Modern Dating Mindset. And so I did one this summer in London, which was really exciting to launch it overseas. And now I'm bringing it back to my home state. I was born and raised in Ohio, but I'm preparing for it. And I'm going to share some emails with some readers. And one reader wrote me, she said, you know, I was feeling so discouraged. She was in her late 30s. And she's like, I was just getting ready to give up entirely. Came across your work, your blog, your podcast, so forth. She's like, I bought your book. And she's like, I'm just feeling so much better, and that I can be strong against the single shaming and just know that I'm not going to settle. It's just not for me. Maybe someone else wants to settle, but not me. Then 8 months later, I got an email. Hey, I just want to touch base with you again. I actually met a guy. It's early stages, but I don't know. It could be the one. Then a year later, I get another email. Hey, Dr. Karen, I'm pregnant. We're still together. And this woman's in Australia, by the way.
Wow.
So the power of our small world with social media connecting us. And that story where I kept getting updates of how she really had changed her mindset and had made all the difference. Like we talked about, she was then able to attract a really wonderful relationship. And now she's got a kid with this guy and I'm, you know, they're together. And for, it's just was really inspiring. So that's
that
the feedback I'm getting.
So wonderful. Great feedback. And really what you're saying as well is that change your mindset and you will change the opportunities that you create for yourself as well. I love it. Thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Karen. What a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, likewise. I just thanks so much for giving me the opportunity to join you.
And listeners, if you're interested in learning more about Dr. Karen Anderson Abril and her new book, go to, again, drkaren.me. You can also follow her on Facebook, Dr. Karen Anderson Abril, and on Twitter at Dr. Karen Anderson. As always, thank you for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here always to help your relationships be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. And while you're on my website, be sure to sign up for my free monthly newsletter. So listeners, until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.